All right? We are spiritual this morning. We'll keep all things spiritual. Amen. All right. The Lord heard. We are keeping all things spiritual. I will not be tempted to deviate into anything that is not spiritual. But I slept off yesterday. I woke up at about 2 a.m. and I didn't see any message on my phone. I knew something did not go right. I knew something did not go right the way it was supposed to go. Or else, there are people here who my phone now have just been receiving messages. So when I woke up, there was peace. All right. Then I went to check what happened. All right then. Okay. But I just want to say that entering his church, Empowerment Church in Ghana, is an experience. You need to go to the church. It is an experience. All right? When you get in, they have not seen that kind of energy anywhere in the world. The kind of spiritual energy that is inside, all right, that church is something else. And he's my brother. I'm supposed to rest this week, but he has said I should come. So I will be there on between Thursday, Friday, all right, to Accra. So if you want to come on your own expenses, you can. But it will be an experience, all right, in Ghana. Let's just welcome our dear brother from Ghana, Prophet Gideon Danso.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Of course, I have to stay spiritual because the Lord wanted peace in this house. I believe that we didn't play well because of Pastor Poju. Because the Lord really loves this man. Because I was not going to gain advantage over him in Nigeria. But definitely, I'm trying to bring you for standing the gap. Because I believe that by which time the league will be over and we can do a proper celebration in Ghana. So. But don't we love Pastor Poju? We love him so much. We love him. We love him. I can't feel your clap right now. We love him. 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 We love him in our church in Ghana. He came and tore the place upside down. What a word. We can't forget and we can't wait to have you next week for our empowerment conference. We are all looking forward to hearing what the Lord has got to say through you. But what a great assembly, what a great service, what a great gathering, what a great, only Pastor Poju can do it the way it's happening. I walk in this morning, I was telling my wife, wow, early morning, it's a lot, it's a lot. Your zeal and passion and seriousness, it's not seen anywhere, but also it's because our big brother is such a great man of God that the excellence, the organization they're putting together, it's just a lot of work, and we learn. We come here to learn. Can we celebrate your pastor and your first lady? You know, I can feel your clap. Walk back. Hallelujah. Amen. Please be seated. Matthew chapter 13 and the verse number 24 to 23 quickly. Matthew 13, 24 to 30. Another parable put forth unto them saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Let's continue. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares amongst the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said to him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then had it tares? Next verse says, he said unto them, an enemy had done this. The servant said unto him, would thou then that we go and gather them up? 29. But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat. Verse 30 says, let both grow together unto harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. I'll speak to you briefly on the subject I call the power of the kingdom. The power of the kingdom. The kingdom has power. When we say, let thy kingdom come, the kingdom comes with a force. It comes with power. Whenever we speak about the kingdom of God, we must first correct a misunderstanding that existed in the days of Jesus. That first, in the first century, the word kingdom carried a political and imperial meaning. That was to say that to the Romans, they saw Jesus' statement and conversation about kingdom as something rivalry. That Jesus was talking about a kingdom that would rival their kingdom. Hence, their hatred for him. They had issues with Jesus because to the Romans, kingdom meant something rivalry. And so it was something they feared. To the Jews, kingdom meant national restoration, military deliverance. That is why they had to reject Jesus when it did not meet their expectation. So both the Romans and the Jews all had issues with Christ based on their understanding or their misconception of kingdom. To the Jews, military deliverance. To the Romans, something else to rival their kingdom. I believe that there was one of those reasons why Judas even believed to have betrayed him, because he felt like something more political, something stronger, something powerful should have happened. And many of the Jews would not accept Jesus because he didn't meet that expectation. Both groups misunderstood him, not because Jesus was unclear, but because their definition of kingdom was incomplete. They were thinking of an empire. Jesus was speaking of a reign. Whilst they were thinking of an empire, Christ was talking about reign. An empire is about territory. The kingdom is about authority. An empire is about rule of land. The kingdom rules hearts, decisions, systems, and outcome. The Bible says, Jesus in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 and 18. Ephesians chapter 1, 16 and 18. Ephesians chapter 1, cease not to give thanks, for you making mention of you in my prayers. Let's go. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory, inheritance in the saints. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The idea of kingdom is that when you become a kingdom person, it's like you put on a glasses. You put on a spectacle. You see from the lenses of your glass. When kingdom comes to you, your heart is enlightened.
The eyes of your heart. Your heart begins to see things, perceive things, understand things from where God rules. Because God rules your heart begins to see things differently. Your hope is different. Your faith is different. Your understanding is different. The way you approach things is different. Because you see from the lenses of where God reigns. From where God rules. You operate from a different dimension, from a different realm. Jesus clarified the misunderstanding when he said, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. Jesus at this point was not denying an impact. No, he was redefining. He was defining the origin and the operations of his kingdom. When he said, my kingdom is not of this world, he was not saying that, and I'm not here to make an impact. No, he wasn't talking about impact. He was talking about the definition of his kingdom and the origin of his kingdom, where his kingdom comes from. St. Augustine's captured this distinction when he wrote, where God reigns, disorder cannot rule. What the kingdom is actually about. What is then the kingdom? The kingdom of God, first, is not a location you enter. It is an active reign and rulership of God through Christ over lives, space, and system. The kingdom is not a location we enter. The kingdom is what? The active rule, reign, rulership of Jesus over one's life, over a space, or a system. When Jesus actively is in charge of your life, he reigns over one's life. When he rules over one's life, a space, or a system, we say the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Wherever God's will is obeyed, the kingdom has come. Wherever God's will is obeyed, not my will, but your will be done. Not what I want to do, but your will be established. Wherever God's will is obeyed, the kingdom has come. The kingdom of God is not when God visits. We are not looking for visitations. It's not about attending one meeting after the other. Because the kingdom goes beyond visitations. The kingdom is when God governs. It's not about, it's when God really governs your life. When God rules, when God is in charge. That is why Jesus does not tell the people to build a kingdom, but say to seek the kingdom. To seek the kingdom. A.W. Tozer, one of my favorites, said, expressed this truth when he clearly said, the truest test of a spiritual life is not how much we talk about God, but how completely we are submitted to his authority. I said one more time. He says, the true test of a spiritual life is not how much we talk about God, but how completely we are submitted to him. Your submission of God shows how spiritual you are. Spirituality is revealed by the level of your submission. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my plan. Not my strategy. And 2026, I submit to you 10 plans. Plans number one, God. Plan number two, God. Plan number three, God. Plan number four, God. Plan number five, God. Plan number six, God. Seven, God. Eight, God. Nine, God. And 10, God. It must be God or God. It has to be God or God. Because God does not have opposite. It must be God. Oh God, it has to be God. Oh God, watch this. Jesus constantly used parables to explain the kingdom because the kingdom is not to be assumed. We don't just assume the kingdom. Jesus constantly used several parables to explain the kingdom, because the kingdom is not to be assumed, but the kingdom is to be revealed. I'm not worried about those who operate with information who don't know me. But because the kingdom is not to be assumed, in a world of so much information, be careful you don't take the kingdom from the place of information, because the kingdom is a revelation. The kingdom is to be revealed. The kingdom is a revelation. Who do men say that I am? Some says you are John the Baptist, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Who do you also say that I am? Simon Peter. Google heaven, www.heaven.com. Download an information and say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus looked at him and said, flesh and blood has nothing to do with this. That if he went to school 1,000 years, if he went to Harvard, Princeton, Oxford, or Yale, you would never have known this. This is revelation. This is download. This is heavenly. The kingdom is to be revealed, not to be assumed. Don't you dare walk by assumption. Walk by revelation. Watch this. Jesus spoke of the kingdom and repeatedly says, the kingdom is like. The kingdom is like. The kingdom is like. Here he said in chapter 13 of Matthew, he said, the kingdom first is like a seed. Then he goes and talks about the living hidden dough. Then talks about the kingdom is like a treasure hidden in the field. The pattern is consistent. The kingdom is often hidden before it becomes visible. It establishes itself inwardly in the heart before it manifests outwardly outside. The pattern is consistent. The kingdom is like a seed. The kingdom is like a living, it's like living hidden in a door. The kingdom is like a treasure hidden in a field. The pattern is consistent. That always the kingdom starts very small, sometimes almost invisible. It starts in the hearts. It starts hidden. It starts inwardly before it shows upwardly. That's why I thank God for every journey the Lord has taken you on. That though it began small, watch God do mighty and mind-blowing things. Our God is a God that starts with a seed. For in every seed, there is a forest. You ain't seen anything yet. It doesn't matter how it began. Though your beginning may be small, your latter end shall greatly increase. We speak over you today that though the outward man perish, but the inner man is revealed day by day. The kingdom starts in the inside before it shows on the outside. I don't care what people see. The part of you that nobody sees is what holds what everybody sees. My prayer for you is that you are not so much in a hurry about what people see, but rather you focus on what they don't see. Because what they don't see is what holds what they see. The reason why we are warped is not because we are crazy. Because what they don't see is what will control what they see. Before we step out in January, in February, in March, and in April, we hide ourselves, we gather, we tarry, we abide, we build inwardly before we sow on the outsides. It's not so much of what they see, it's rather the hidden, what they don't see. Tell somebody, I've started like a seed. Give somebody a knock. I am like the seed. I say, give somebody a knock. I am like a seed. Say, don't despise me. Don't reject my small beginnings. You have no idea. For eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has he entered the heart of men what God has prepared for those who love him. Am I preaching to a church tonight? Come on, lift on and shout and say, yes. 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 my God. Tell somebody, I began like a seed. Come on, pros. I start like a seed. Say, sometimes I fall. Sometimes I die. Sometimes it looks like I don't exist. But unless a grain of a mustard seed falls, and if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. I declare over your life, as you plan, as you start like a seed. We began like a seed. We start like a seed. Who for the last, what is today's date? What? Ninth. It's been first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth. And we are not in the office. Because we know we start like a seed. We know we start like a seed. We start like a seed. We got to be planted. We got to be sown. We got to break out. We got to break forth. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. The kingdom always starts hidden. It starts like a treasure. It starts like a door. It starts like a seed. Why? That's why people can be surrounded by spiritual activities and not live the kingdom authority life. John Scott said, the kingdom is not a matter of talk, but transform lives. The kingdom is not about proximity to God. The kingdom is about submission to God. It's not how close you are, because everybody was touching Jesus, but a woman touched him. Peter said, you are too much. You give troubles too much. Why, Jesus, why? Everybody's touching you, and you are saying somebody has touched you. What is it about you? Jesus said, you don't understand. I'm not talking about proximity. I'm talking about true touch. I've got a touch from prayer, a touch from submission, a touch from an encounter, a touch that has pulled something. Don't look at me, look at me. There are people close to, where do you get your power from in Nigeria? Where? What? IG Dam. Kanji Dam. Let me say something to you. There are people closer to Kanji Dam, but don't have light. There are people so close to power, have no power. Power is not proximity. Power is about submission and connection. You can be around power and not have power. Many are close. Proximity does not equal power. Power is how submitted you are determines the power you walk in. There are people who are around power, but they are not connected to power. It's not about being around Pastor Poju with a great deal of respect. It's about how submitted you are. A true test of spiritual life is measured by submission, not proximity. We are in Lagos, we got power. But the people close to the dam don't have the power. We are in Lagos because we are power because we are connected. The more connected you are, the more power you can pull. Many are close but don't have power. Many are shouting and screaming, meeting after meeting, church after church, conference after conference, shout after shout, scream after scream, noise after noise, but no power. Power is a product of connection that comes through submission. Let's work this out. Watch this. Father, help me to help somebody this morning. Watch this. Apostle Paul says, he gives a defining statement. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, for the kingdom is not in word, but in power. Give somebody a fist bump and say, power. Lord, I say, power. Lord, I say, power. Scream and say, power. I don't know if I'm allowed to do this, but in Ghana, I'm allowed to say something like, I got the power. I can feel, come on, one, two, go. We got the power. No, 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 no. You are, You are too religious this morning. One, two, rise up and shout, we got the power! 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 Please sit down. The kingdom is not in words, but in power. Power. Dunamis power. Power of force. Power. The kingdom is not, Paul was not looking down, preaching and teaching. No. Paul's not rejecting preaching. Paul was authenticating the kingdom. The Greek word for power is what dunamis. It means effective ability, active force, power to produce results. Say 2025, say 2026, I'm going to be very effective. I'm going to be very effective. I'm going to change things. I'm going to shift system, shift nations, shift culture, shift tradition. The devil is a liar. I'm going to be known for what I destroy and for what I build, because I'm going to walk in power. Tell somebody, be effective. Now, I prophesy over you with my eyes open that 2026, you'll be very effective, you'll be very active, and you'll produce results. Can I get a shout and a scream? A shout and a scream. Can you rise up and shout and say, yes, we got the power, we got power. Watch this, watch this. Paul is saying the kingdom has come. When the kingdom come, something must change. Power changes things. And once thy kingdom come, it means we must experience the change of the power that the kingdom brings. And ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, in Nigeria, in Lagos, in China, in Accra. We shall be a witness. We shall bring the chain, effective chain, powerful chain, divine results, divine outcome. I need a clap in the building. Come on, shout and say power. Ooh. Paul is saying that the kingdom is not in words. What is he saying? I mean, the kingdom is not in explanation. The kingdom is not, let me explain my point. The kingdom is not argument. The kingdom is proven by impact. Nobody, I walk in here and I saw this. Nobody can disagree. Nobody can contend with what is happening here. Impact is happening. How do we gather people 7 a.m., 6 a.m.? I'm sure some of you left 5 a.m. I don't know where you came from. Why? Because this power, this impact, this is change. The kingdom is impact. The kingdom is a footprint you leave on earth. The kingdom is not explanation. The kingdom is, the kingdom, a theologian said, the kingdom does not arrive in an argument, it arrives in authority. Jesus reveals one of the clearest demonstrations of the power of the kingdom in Matthew chapter 30. Quickly. Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that sowed in his field, and Bible says he sowed good seed. Here, watch this. We're about to pray. The field belongs to the owner. From the parable, the seed belongs to the owner. The harvest belongs to the owner. Follow me. The field belongs to the owner. The seed belongs to the owner. And the harvest belongs to the owner. Don't Get it wrong. Don't let anybody deceive you that the seed belongs to the owner, God. The field belongs to him. And the harvest belongs to him. You belong to God. Every assignment he has given you belongs to God. The results of your assignment belongs to God. I need a clap in the building. Follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me. But watch this. But however, Jesus asked a sober revelation or truth. He said, "While man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat." Jesus does not deny human weakness. He does not deny moments of fatigue and vulnerability. But he reveals something greater. The enemy can sow, but the enemy does not govern the outcome. Jesus said, yeah, the seed was good, the field was good, the harvest was good, but it says, whilst men slept, his enemy came and planted tares amongst the wheat. Jesus is saying, there are moments in our walk with God, there are moments in our journey with God where you get fatigue. Yes. Oh, come on, talk to me. Yes. Can I get a real church in the house? Yes. There are moments where weakness came in. Come on, can I talk to a church right now? Yes. I know you are all strong people. Leave me alone, leave me alone. But I'm talking about those that somewhere in June or in February or in October, 11 o'clock in the afternoon in the office, where the enemy came and bombardment started and confusion started and it was a strong warfare and it was a moment of weakness. Not that you don't believe in God, but while men slept, a moment you doze off, a moment is like you took your eyes off the ball, a moment of vulnerability, a moment of weakness. Paul says that I will therefore be glad in my weakness, because when I am weak, then he is strong. I thank God for every so-called proclivities and tendencies and natural predispositions and weaknesses in my life. Because there are moments where it gets tiring. There are moments when the bombardment is on. I know I'm talking to a Nigerian church that prays 48 hours every day. I know I'm talking to people that have never slept. I'm talking to people that have never gone off. I know I'm talking to people that constantly are at Wolfbeck. I know I'm preaching to people that never leave Wolfbeck, that Wolfbeck is in their homes 24/7. I know I'm preaching to a church that's constantly on fire. But the Bible says, while men slept, I dare you give somebody a knock and say, stop sleeping, stop sleeping. I dare you give somebody, say, stop sleeping, stop sleeping. Can you hold the hand of a friend and shake the hand and say, you dare not sleep. The days of sleeping, the days of slumber, the days of weaknesses, the days of proclivities, the days when the enemy took advantage are over. You no longer sleep. While man slept, his enemy sown barren seeds. Whoa. Whoa. The enemy can sow, because sowing is an activity. We can't stop the devil from working. Tell somebody, as we are here, they are working. Can I preach right now? Can I preach right now? Can I preach right now? While man slept, I want to address how the enemy wants to use your weakness to define your outcome. You are not what you did. You are not what you did. God did not take one day to build you. He won't take one day to destroy you. Many are sitting waiting when you crash, when this thing will fall. Because we live in a continent where people don't approach you for what is good that Pastor Poggi is doing for which you are getting the success. They look at what wrong, what is wrong, what is doing for which is getting what is getting. Get me correct. While men slept. So the servant said, let's go and root it out. The master said, no, leave it alone. Rest. Take a chill pill. Relax. I'm in charge. Can you tell somebody, anxiety is over this year? Give someone half a say, relax. Relax. Take it easy. God is in charge. God is in control. The devil is a liar. I came to prophesy over your life. For every weakness, for every vulnerability, for every mistake the devil is holding on to redefine your life, I came to shout, the devil is a liar. God is still in charge. Oh my God, my God, my God. Tell somebody, God is in charge. I dare you, hold the hand of friend. Say, God is in charge. God is in control. He's in charge of this work. He's in charge of this assignment. He's in charge of my calling. He's in charge of my family. He's in charge of my ministry. He's in charge of my house. Of God is in charge. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch it. Tell somebody, I made some mistakes. But God is in charge. Come on, I slept last year, but God is still here. I'm not proud of the things that happened when I slept, but God is still in charge of the outcome of my life. I dare you clap your hands, and I dare you shout, I dare you scream. Come on, say yes. Yes. Oh, hear me. The servants were very worried. Should we go and remove the tares from among the wheat? The master said, leave it alone. Go to bed. Can you learn how to relax in God? I can't feel it. I can't. Come on, say, leave it alone. Say, leave it alone. Say, trust God. Believe God. Wait on him. He that watch over his life, he does not sleep nor slumber. Leave it alone. Trust God. Believe God. Watch me. I come to rebuke every anxiety. I can rebuke every fear, every worry. I didn't plan well. I'm not too sure. I made a mistake. I slipped. No. You are not that powerful to undo your destiny. Tell somebody, you are not that powerful to undo what God has done already. The devil is a liar. I came to rebuke every voice of fear, every panic, every anxiety, every shame, every guilt, every contention. Lift up your hand and shout and say, yes. I silence the voice of the enemy. Watch this. The master said, leave it alone. Go to bed. Sleep. Relax. For it is vain to rise up early and to sit up late and to eat the bread of sorrow. But so he giveth his beloved sleep. There is, I will both lie down and sleep and have my peace. For thou, O Lord, maketh my dwelling safe. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it is God that showeth mercy. 2026, I said, relax. Leave it alone. Trust God. How dare you worry about tomorrow? What can you add to your tomorrow? Watch it. There are some things we don't know. But there are some things we know. Let us admit to the things we don't know. We don't know when the next provision is coming. We don't know. But we know who provides. Come here. Can we be humble and admit to the things we don't know? But for we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and to those. Am I preaching to a church right now? Am I prophesying to a church right now? Am I decreeing to a church right now? I said, God knows.
So what is the power of the kingdom? The power of the kingdom is simple. The devil can sow, he can work, can have activities, but God determines the outcome. You know what I said? That they can keep on working, keep on plotting and planning and sowing. Activity does not equate results. There are people who are running, but they are going nowhere. There are people who are shouting, but they are going nowhere. There are people who are busy working, but the resource is not in their hand. Do you know that in countries like Africa, where, no, for the most part, everywhere, economies are not, the outcome of economies is not determined by the activities. Determined by the central bank or by the policy of the government. Inflation, irony at all. Things like GDP, so it's policy. So you do your work, the central bank will determine the outcome. The governor can do one thing, everything will scatter. We are in Nigeria now, can we talk now? One decision by the president, by the central bank, all your gains, everything. The same is true with God. No matter the activities that goes on, God determines the final outcome and the final say. The devil is a liar. You want to tell me you are where you are because of what you did? No. You survived 2025 because you were paid well? No. Somewhere, somehow, the power of the kingdom is that let the enemy sow, I will deal with it at harvest because I control harvest. Paul planted, Apollos waters, but it is God that determines the increase. Can I preach right now? He's the Lord of the harvest. He controls the harvest. He's in charge of the harvest. The harvest belongs to God. The power of the kingdom is that when it comes to harvest, he's in charge. He's the Lord of the harvest. You can plant, you can water, but he determines the outcome. Let them sow, let them plant, leave it alone. At harvest time, I'll be Lord over every situation. 2026, we leave Wolfbeck with this declaration that the outcome belongs to God. The outcome of your family, your marriage, your ministry, your job, your finances, your health, your next level belongs to God. And that God will